Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua. It started even before we got into the book of Joshua. The Bible has much to say about the man Joshua and how God had prepared him for leading Israel into the promised land. And so it was a blessing to see all the different things. We're here in chapter 7, Israel, after experiencing a tremendous victory there at Jericho, then turned around and they experienced a defeat at Ai, probably the lowest point in Joshua's entire life as we study the life of Joshua. And God revealed that there was a sin in the camp of Israel. And as Joshua sought the Lord directed him on how to find the one at fault. And as we studied through that, we know that was an important time. And understanding that God is no respecter of persons, and that he had to look at the entire nation of Israel, tribe by tribe, family by family. And eventually God pointed Joshua to Achan. And after being revealed by God, we find then that Achan confessed to his sin. And so it's what we looked at last week or a week ago, 2 weeks ago from today. And I was gone last week, but this evening, what we're looking at here is it's time for judgment. And that's what we'll be reading tonight. So go ahead and stand with me in chapter 7. We're going to be reading verse 20 down to verse 26. I know it's been a dreary, rainy day today, and everyone just seems like there's no wind in your sail, amen? I don't know what all's going on there. I know that we can be tired, we can be worn out, but you've gotten half the battle. You're here tonight, amen? And so you could have let the rain and all the other things keep you at home, but you're here in the church and already experienced blessings, the presence of God, and just singing and encouraging. Everyone here is an encouragement to others that are here tonight. That's how it works. And so now we just need to plug into the Word of God and receive what God has for us, okay? And so put everything else out of your heart and your mind and just focus on and ask God to give you what He has for you tonight, okay? And make that whatever application necessary. But here in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 20. The Bible says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekel weight, then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it.' So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day.' And all Israel stoned him with stones, and buried them with fire, and burned them, rather, with fire, and after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." And let's pray. Our Father, again, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in church and what we've already experienced. And as we open up your word and we've read this passage of scripture and we're studying what you have preserved for us through the life of Achan and for Joshua, I just pray, God, that you would give us that insight and help us to know, not only learn of this biblical account, but also learn of the biblical principles that we might be able to be strengthened by ourselves. Bless now in this study and the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find this time that the judgment was here, and Achan and his family were judged accordingly. Now, if you look back to verse 15 in chapter 7, you'll find here the two major crimes. What actually led to this judgment, a fierce judgment? I mean, this was a death penalty. This was capital punishment, if you will. And if we look in verse 15, the Bible says, and he outlines, before they ever knew who was guilty. If you wait until you figure out who's guilty and then you establish a judgment, it might be tainted. And we've already found out that God is no respecter of persons. And so judgment was going to fall upon whoever committed the trespasses. And so we find this in verse 15, before they ever knew who was guilty, biblical judgment had already been established for the crimes that were revealed. Verse 15, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So the people were to be informed of sin and the judgment of sin. Now, the first crime was he transgressed the covenant. God had made a covenant with Israel, and Israel had agreed to obey God, whatever God would have established. They were to teach this to their children. They were to teach the children about who God was and his holiness and his righteousness and the covenant that had been made and the judgment to all of those who would break that covenant. Now, that's very important as we look here, because can I tell you that today people are to be informed of sin and the judgment of sin. It is the church that Jesus Christ established that is to be the vessel that God works through to teach and disciple believers to understand this. And then as you are taught the word of God, then you are to go and you are to do accordingly. That's discipleship, to obey whatever it is that Christ has taught us. Once you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you received him because you realize, the Bible says, we're all sinners in need of a Savior, Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. So the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. People need to know that. I'm afraid today we're not preaching on the judgment as much as what we ought to be preaching on the judgment. We ought to be teaching the truths of God's word so that people would understand what God expects of humanity, especially a Christian nation, especially a born-again believer. God's expectations are only upon his children. He has no expectations of the lost. The lost are dead to Christ. They can be saved if somebody reveals to them their need of salvation and the plan that God has for salvation, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So they need to understand that we're all sinners, and because we're sinners, there's a penalty, there's a wage to be paid for that, and that's separation from God eternally, eternal damnation. In order for there to be eternal damnation, there has to be a place of hell. People don't like to hear about hell. They don't want to believe in their minds that a loving God could send anybody to a place of hell. And they surely do not understand that if that's what they think, if that's what they say. Because it was a loving God who does everything to keep an individual from going to a place of hell. The judgment determines the penalty of sin is death. That's the judgment. People need to understand that God has established judgment before We know who's guilty. Before I was born, it was established that if I was given life and I failed to receive Jesus Christ, I would die because of my sin nature and go to a devil's hell because I've got a sin nature. Born with a sin nature. Lost in need of a Savior. So we find here the people are to be informed of sin and the judgment. We do that by preaching the word. We do that by teaching the word. We do that by witnessing the word. The word is what's key, is understanding what God has established in his word. That's the covenant. That is the principle of the covenant. And so Achan, the Bible says right here, this is before they knew it was Achan, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord. That's first. All were to be taught. There is a God. There is expectations. There is a covenant. And all are accountable. Once you reach the age of when you can think and you can understand right and wrong and you can understand sin and the wages of sin, you are accountable for that knowledge of the wages of sin is death. Your children, whenever they reach that age of accountability, they need to understand the wages of sin is death. And every parent wants them to understand that and pray for your children. That's why people, Christian homes, Christian families want to dedicate their children to the Lord. It doesn't change that child. It changes. It's a dedication of mom and dad to realize the importance of raising that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Giving back to God what God's given to you, asking God for wisdom to raise that child in a way that as soon as they come to the age of accountability, they will readily receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We dedicated our children because of that. Most everyone here that I know of have dedicated your children because you want them to be saved. And you're revealing to them the judgment of God and the love of God so that they would not have to face that judgment. First crime transgressed the covenant. It was sin against God. Every one of them were accountable. Every soldier that went into the battlefield after being given the instructions, posted no doubt, this is accursed, you're not to take of the spoil, this is the first fruit, this is goes into the treasuries of God, this is a transgression, if you take of this, you will be accursed. Every soldier going there knew that. Only one out of all of the soldiers of Israel who went into Jericho and defeated and got the victory in Jericho, only one soldier transgressed the covenant of God. Wow. All were accountable. The second crime that was committed that was worthy of judgment, he hath wrought folly in Israel. Wrought folly in Israel. He sinned against others. And his sin against others caused others to suffer. The whole nation of Israel suffered because of one man's sin. Because of one man's sin, 36 soldiers died that day. Not being aware, they did not have the power of God behind them because one man had sinned and the nation was cursed. 36 families lost their fathers. Now you stop and think about, well, wasn't the judgment awful harsh? And we looked at that, we read that. Well, look at the consequence. Look what that sin did. It led to 36 men, soldiers, who did not transgress the covenant. It led to them losing their lives. And all of Israel suffering because of it. Can I tell you that God's just in his judgments? And the judgment had already been established before there was a person attached to it, before there was a face attached to it, before there was a name attached to it. That's important to know. Because this sin does more than what we realize. And so God attaches a judgment to sin. And everyone is to be aware of that, and everyone is accountable to that. No matter what you think of it, doesn't matter. God's thoughts are so much higher. So we find here the Bible says, concerning them, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. Now we know that under the law, the judgment was to be stoned and then burned. And that's what actually would happen. But it was God's just judgment. Achan knew this. Achan's wife knew this. Achan's children, if they were old enough to understand this, old enough to realize this, would have been taught that. Today, all have opportunity to know God's word. That's something that God has promised, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God promises that he will keep his word available to humanity all the way through until the rapture of the church. He will have a witness. Jesus established his church. His church is made up of individual believers so that we might be witnesses, that we might have the light that the world needs, the light to be able to shine in darkness. And before the end comes, the word of God will be preached around the world, which it has been, and it is today. So because of that, everyone will have opportunity to know God's word. At some point, some way, even nature itself reveals that there's a God. I think when people take advantage of just believing that there is a God and taking advantage of every step that God opens up to them to seek after the Lord, that they will find the truth. The truth is available because the word of God is available. Not only do all have opportunity to know God's word, all will be held accountable to God's word, and it's God's word, his established word, that will determine judgment. Just like it was here. Before they knew it was Achan, before they knew that, God said, this is the judgment. This is what they have done, and this is the judgment for their crime. John chapter 12. Again, we study this. We make sure it's a biblical principle by looking and seeing it revealed in the New Testament as Christ fulfilled the Old Testament to bring to us the better way, the way that God has always intended humanity to live by. And John in chapter 12 and verse 46. Jesus says, I am come a light into the world. Imagine where this world would be if Christ had never come. the darkness. I mean, it's getting dark now, but can you imagine? I am come into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You have opportunity to see things the way they are. Because of Jesus Christ, because of God's word, we have opportunity to know the truth. If any man hear my words and believe not, and you don't, no one's going to force you to believe. It's got to come willingly. I judge him not. For I am come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Isn't that great? Almighty God says, I come not to judge. I came to save the world. And the way I'm saving the world is, first of all, revealing truth that there is a judgment for sin. And then he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us and paid a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. That's why he came. That's why he's come. But I want you to see what it goes on to say in verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Wow. That's powerful stuff. It really is. Because all are accountable. And all have an opportunity. For God so loved the world, that's all humanity, to be saved. Yeah. And it's the word that brings it to us. It's the word of God that he has brought that makes all of us accountable. So we find, go back to our text here, because that's what God did. He first of all presented what the person has done wrong, the judgment that would take place, and then he revealed it to be Achan. Can I tell you that all will give an account of something? The believers, as you know, the Bible reveals that the saved will be raptured up, but we will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for basically what we've done with salvation. Our sins are washed and cast from the east as from the west, but what have you done with what God has given to you? And that's eternal life, salvation, spiritual gifts, and opportunities. What have we done with that? We'll give an account for that. The lost will give an account at the great white throne judgment. And there will be degrees in hell. The Bible reveals that there's many books, and it'll be open and reveals what's taken, and then there will be a judgment. But all will give an account. Achan, after being revealed, confessed. Only God knows how genuine it was. We talked about that. That's what we preached on last week, that idea of confession after you've been revealed instead of before, when it's genuine repentance and sorrow. Achan confessed and reveals here in the scriptures here how this happened. Now that it has happened, how would somebody do that? Achan was the only one. Why did Achan submit to this and no one else did? What happened? What was the situation here? No other soldier allowed themselves to commit this trespass against God. But Achan did. And the Bible records exactly what happened to him. Now again, it's recorded for us to learn from. Can I tell you what happened to Achan can happen to any one of us if we let our guard down? So I love how God has revealed this through Achan. Now we know that the judgment was established. God now points to Achan. Achan knows that he's been revealed. And so Joshua's wanting Achan to confess and hopefully it be some genuine repentance here that you might have some kind of a forgiveness from God. And so we find here that Achan does confess, and this is what he says happened. Verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. He remembers it began with sight. He saw. Knowing of God's revealed judgment, he allowed his sight to overcome his thinking of judgment. He saw. And he didn't dismiss it when he saw it. He didn't identify it as something that the devil will use to take my life, destroy my home and my family, destroy my walk with God, affect the entire nation of Israel. Because he had been told that's what it would do. When he saw it, and can I tell you, I believe that all the soldiers would have saw some kind of temptation. But he waited too long to turn away from it. He focused on it. He focused on it. You know who else did that? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, Eve. She focused on what God told them that was forbidden. Isn't that human nature? When you're told you can't have something, that's the thing that is you want to look at the most. Or, you know, it's just, why can't I have it? There must be something there. And sometimes, even though we know it's wrong, we spend too long focusing on it. As a matter of fact, look there with me. If you don't remember exactly what the Bible records, in chapter 3 of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now she's trying to figure out, well, it looks like it should be something we ought to be able to eat. It looks like something we ought to be able to enjoy. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, why doesn't God want me to view this? It's beautiful. It's something that is enticing. Why can't I have this? You understand? She's focusing on something that she shouldn't be focused on. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She waited too long. She focused too much and allowed her mind to wander instead of living by the conviction that God has established. None of the spoils were to be taken. If you take any of it, you have transgressed the law of God. You sinned against God. She would have had some. Achan would have some of those very same thoughts that Eve did. Another one that had this problem was David. 2 Samuel 11, 2. Spent too long looking, allowing himself to covet or desire. Lamentations 3, verse 51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. My eye affecteth my heart, which is the seat of your emotions, your feelings. Don't give yourself time to have wrong thinking and wrong that leads to wrong feelings. So then he said, I saw, and then he said, I coveted. I wanted it. Didn't really want to think about the cost. Didn't want to think about anything other than now that my eye has led to my heart wanting it, I'm going to have it. He coveted. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, let me just read this to you. Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversations be without covetousness. Don't let yourself covet things. And this is how you do it. Be content with such things as you have. Think of God and what He's blessed you with. Don't give in to something that you shouldn't be focused on. But if you focus on it for too long, you will give in to the second step of coveting, whatever that might be. Because the next thing he said as he did is after coveting that, he took it. He took them. It allowed him to be turned into a thief. It wasn't his. Somehow he justified it. But he turned into a thief by yielding to his desires of covetousness. He took them. This is a transgression from God, so he actually stole from God. He understood that this was supposed to be the first fruit, and this first fruit was to be given to God. The first battle was the first fruit of the income of the land. And he stole from God. Then we find the Bible says that he hid it. Knowing it was wrong, but thinking that he could get away with this sin. If he didn't know it was wrong, he wouldn't have hit it. No one does this knowing that they'll get caught. You just don't do that, because what good is it if you're going to lose your life? He understood the penalty because it was established ahead of time. And so being established ahead of time, he knew that if he did this, it would cost him and his family their lives. Somehow or another, by looking at this and then yielding to this and then understanding that this is what I want based on nobody else but himself, he hid it. Can I keep it from others? You wouldn't do it if you didn't think you could. Yeah. The Bible says, be sure, your sin will find you out. Numbers 22, 32, 23. Can I tell you that eventually all sin will be exposed? We need to tell ourselves that. All sin will be exposed. Is it worth the penalty of that sin? If the penalty of the sin is not severe, it might be worth it to have a chance on getting by with it. But when you understand the severity of the penalty that God established, only one of the soldiers convinced themselves that they could get by with it. Eventually, all sin will be exposed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. But I love what it says after this. But after this, the judgment. You might even think you can get by with it for in this entire life. You might be able to hide this from everyone that you know. But you will have to deal with it. Because after you die, if it wasn't exposed before you die, it will be exposed as you stand before an almighty God. Boy, we need to keep that in mind. So now go back with me to our text here in Joshua chapter 7. All this had taken place. Now the judgment's carried out. If you just read the judgment without thinking all of this through and revealing what God has given to us for us to understand the severity of the judgment, you would think, boy, God's awful harsh. Couldn't he just show a little more grace and mercy? Couldn't he let at least the children get off of it? I'm sure all the teenagers said, yeah, they shouldn't have to pay for their parents' sins. Yeah. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord. The judgment's not coming from Joshua. The judgment's not coming from the people of Israel. If it was up to them, maybe so. But this judgment was established by an almighty God before anyone knew, except for Achan, who did it. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel did what God had commanded them to do in punishment in the Old Testament, the law, stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Wow. Biblical judgment honors God's law and holiness. Biblical judgment honors God, the laws that he's established, and holiness. No judgment, no righteousness. For there to be righteousness, there has to be justice. No righteousness, no holiness. If judgment is according to God's word, because he is just and holy, should be no question there. God is just and God is holy. So everything that God does as being just and holy is to be able to keep and honor justice and righteousness and holiness. His judgments have to be just and holy. We might not be able to figure it all out. We don't have to. All I have to know is God's word is truth. And God is just in his judgments. And God is holy in his righteousness. Yes, I would be the first one to tell you, I believe that judgment is a deterrent. I believe in capital punishment because I believe the Bible teaches it. And it is a deterrent, but we should not accept it just merely because it's a deterrent, but mostly for righteousness' sake. Verse 26, what happened after this just judgment, which was pronounced before they knew who was the guilty one? They followed through with this just judgment. And when they followed through with biblical judgment, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. That tells you something right there. An almighty God turned from the fierceness, not just anger, but the fierceness of his anger. They stoned them for the punishment, which was a death sentence, because it led to the death of 36 soldiers, which is capital punishment. They were burned for the cleansing of the camp. They was already dead. I mean, cremated. The burning was nothing more than cremation, but everything that they owned, everything that reminded them of Achan, all of his possessions, everything about him had to be cleansed. The camp had to be cleansed. Yeah. They left a heap of stones for a reminder to all not to yield to temptations of sin. That's what's there. And they raised over him a great heap of stones. The Bible says, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor. That Achor means trouble, the Valley of Trouble. I guarantee you that everyone after this was reminded of what happened to Achan, to keep them from falling into the very same traps that Achan fell into. So don't think God's harsh. God is just. And everything that God allows and everything God causes and everything that God brings, God is a just and holy and righteous God. What a blessing to learn from the failures of Achan. If I could have ever head bowed tonight, ever I closed, that concludes our study here on this last part of this chapter, chapter 7. But it reveals to us who God is, how God works. Judgment is just part of God's plan to keep us living and accomplishing what he has us here to accomplish. Without it, there is no justice. There is no righteousness. And there is no holiness. Thank God for his just judgments. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that we would all just take in this message from the life of Achan, especially in this judgment part of it, to help us to realize that your plan for discipline is to be yielded to. I pray that you'd help us to understand that as parents raising children and believers serving a holy God. Pray that you would just continue to work in us and to work through us. Bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.